are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topics, from textile to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to share. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Lucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition here of Max and Friends. How you all doing, everybody? What's going on? How is your summer? Well, you know, there's a lot of hot topics going on. Everything is hot these days. We got heat waves going on, East Coast, West Coast, North Coast, South Coast, and everyone's just like, I think the heat is affecting y'all. Y'all making some poor decisions these days, and they're just happening more frequently. So let the heat wave break. You all remember Summer of Sam? When all that craziness went on because of the heat, blame it on the heat and the humidity. I think the humidity swells your brain and makes you do stupid things, but I don't know. Maybe that's what happened in South Florida. Nonetheless, we're going to be talking about that tonight because, of course, we're going to be talking about Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin because still, after time has passed, this is still on the hot topic list. And also, not only just in America, but in Venezuela. We were talking about it tonight with a gentleman that we met from Venezuela and how it's affected Venezuela and how there's like the line down the middle of who's right, who's wrong, if anyone is right or wrong. Well, you know, I've been talking about it with my buddy, Auntie Rolanda Watts, on her show, Sunday with Rolanda. So check out SundayWithRolandas.com, because Rolanda Watts is going to be joining us in just a minute. So is Hunter Cross. We've got him back. And y'all love him. I don't know. Someone once said, I love to hate him and I hate to love him. Felonious Monk is back. He thought he was pretty on the right in the middle, too. So I don't know. We were talking just before the show, and y'all say he's controversial. But I think just because when someone speaks their mind and doesn't pick a side, all of a sudden they become controversial. So speaking of controversy, I've got to let you all know that we were just in Fashion Week here in Miami and South Beach. It's Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. And I don't know. There was a lot of stuff going on down here. People are talking about Zimmerman, and they're talking about Trayvon Martin at fashion events. Is that right? Is that wrong? Well, we're going to talk about it tonight on Max and Friends. And I got to thank you all for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at Max Tucci. And Hunter Cross is going to tell you his Twitter. And Rolanda is going to tell you hers at Rolanda Watts. But I just love hanging with bro because, you know, we talk about some serious stuff. And I've been on her show. She's been on my show. And you can check out her show every Sunday. And she's going to tell you what's going on new in her life and with her show. And today on her show, she spoke to a former KKK member. And, of course, the divine Rita Cosby. We've had her here on Max and Friends. So it's going to be quite the show tonight. So sit back, relax, enjoy. And if you miss any portion of the show, you just got to go to latalkradio.com/max with a capital M, AX.php, because that's where all my almost 6 years of archives are. Can you believe we hung out for 6 years, everybody? It's been fun, and I looked at hanging out. We're going to hang out some more. But tonight, we're going to hang out. We're going to talk about hot topics. Hit it, Ronan. We got hot topics coming up. They're just coming up in a minute, so we'll let Ronan hit our little hot topic link because that's what's going on. I just love that. We got Sharon Agati always doing the hot topic jingle. So, and of course, the jingle at the beginning of my show is by our girl Monroe King. So hit it, Ronan. Hot topics.
Hey, y'all, guys and dolls. Pick a topic and you know we're going to drop it on Max and Friends.
We are going to drop hot topics tonight on Max and Friends, and my first guest that I welcome is the divine Miss Rolanda Watts. How you doing, my Auntie Ro?
Hey, how you doing, Max?
Oh, I miss you. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever, and you were just here 2 weeks ago in the little hot zone of Florida.
I know, and I enjoyed it, and I've listened. Still running off the memory, so we have to do it again, but I had such a great time, and it was really cool being in Florida during the whole, you know, the whole time with during the verdict wait and all of that verdict watch, and it was a joy to be there for sure.
Now listen, are people still talking about this in LA as they are about they're doing it here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's so many different offshoots of the main case that people are talking about. I know that people are talking more about race and more about race relations and race experiences. I mean, especially even after the president has become a participant in the conversation, that the nation needs to have. There's lots of things that we're talking about, and I think the conversation continues.
Absolutely. I got to ask you, Auntie Ro, being a black woman in America, okay, an African-American woman in America, and you don't have children, but you got a lot of God kids and a lot of nieces and nephews. But
right.
being a black woman in this country right now, how do you feel if you were to have a child? Like, what would you discuss with your child, and where do you stand as a black woman in this country right now with the whole Zimmerman trial?
Well, I think that this whole case has opened up the fact that we bring so many things to the table. One of the things we all bring as any kind of citizen is our experiences. And my experience as an African-American woman in this nation is very different than other experiences. I mean, everybody has their own experience. But I know there is not a day on this earth that I am not aware that I am a black woman and that I am not recognized as a black woman, whatever that means. I mean, I can't walk in the room and that not be noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different standards. There are different experiences that we have. I have been profiled. I know that. I have lived in a time where I drank colored water, and I don't mean Kool-Aid. I mean, you know, growing up in the South, those were experiences for me. I was not allowed to do certain things because blacks weren't allowed. I have lived that life, and that wasn't long ago.
And you've got Cherokee blood in you. Like, you're Native American.
Yeah, well, you know, that's part of being Native American, is understanding that we're in this big melting pot, and we either make it work as the beauty of our nation, or we continue, and I think that's a continuum. That's a continuous dialogue, and I think we're starting to have it. We're starting to talk a lot more openly about race and experience in this nation, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing, and a good thing is that we have the one and only Felonious Monk joining us tonight from Chicago. Felonious Monk, welcome back to Max and Friends. What do you have to say about this whole race issue, and are people talking about Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin in Chicago?
Of course they are. Chicago is almost impossible to ignore. There's a lot of violence here, period, and it's black on black, and it's unfortunate that we're only allowed to have one conversation or the other. A lot of the conversation here is, why are you so worried about Trayvon Martin when there's so much going on in your own city that you're not addressing? And that's not accurate either. The media doesn't necessarily cover the Stop the Violence music, Cure Violence. All of these different movements that are here, the marches almost every weekend for the children who are murdered here as well. So it's kind of like, because the national conversation is about Trayvon Martin, apparently nothing else is happening, and that's not true either.
I'm glad you brought that up, because let's go to Milwaukee real quick, because that brings up a great case. And Auntie Ro, did you hear about what's going on in Milwaukee right now?
I'm sorry?
Did you hear what's going on in Milwaukee with this 13-year-old boy who was killed by that 75-year-old man? Little black boy was killed by this white man, 75 years old, right on the front doorstep. The man pulled out a gun, waved it at the mother, then shot the kid because he said the kid came into his house and robbed his and took his shotgun or something.
Mm.
This just happened. So what do you have to say about that, Felonious?
Well, that's a perfect example. The question has been asked, why isn't that trial getting the same amount of attention as if, you know, there's some type of bias, there's a media bias, or there's a liberal bias, or they're trying to get the gun control laws. And the truth is, the Trayvon Martin trial became a national story because the parents pushed it. Also because George Zimmerman didn't get arrested. Initially, 40-some days go by, and he's not arrested. And so the cries for justice were had. The justice was, we wanted a trial. That was the issue. That didn't happen in the case in Milwaukee, but he was arrested immediately. That didn't happen in the Jordan Davis case. He was arrested immediately. So the fact that they're saying it is that they're framing it as if the media was trying to avoid it is laughable. That's not what happened. The media didn't avoid it. It wasn't as big as a profile because social media didn't get involved. People weren't picketing and protesting because they went to jail immediately. They were arrested immediately. And, you know, I do think they should be mentioned. I do, but for them to be national stories, the national story on Zimmerman was he did it, went in, told the police it was self-defense, and the police said, okay, cool, and let him go.
Now, you know, I want to jump.
Right.
I want to jump to Rolanda because Rolanda is, you know, a veteran in the media for a long time now. And Rolanda, what do you think the media's responsibility is in cases like this? Push it or keep it quiet?
Well, I think that you know, the traditional role for the journalist has always been to bark when society is right, to bark when society is wrong. And, you know, I think it's always important to shine light on cases that bring up so much discussion. I think that the role of the media, and, you know, we've played many roles. We've seen it stretching a few roles, I think, during the Zimmerman trial. But the role is to present enough information that it helps you at home make a conscious decision, you know, on your own to help you think and to help you come up with your own opinions. I think that's the role. And if there's something that is not right, that is something that goes against the grain of humanity or society, then we need to bark like crazy dogs on that. Mm. And, you know, I think that's the role of the media, just to present enough evidence and enough facts to give you enough to think about and come to your own conclusion.
But what happens when the media doesn't give facts and they start giving opinion? Because that's a lot that happened, you know, with the whole Zimmerman trial, was that there was a lot of opinion. They weren't really facts.
Well, you know something, and that can be, you know, I got to admit, I was part of the fray when it came to opinion, and it was very unusual for, you know, for being in the business for more than 30 years to be called to come and be on a panel, not to speak as a journalist so much, but to speak as a person. I think this was a new thing that we saw. We even saw that in our president. He stepped out of his official position and gave his opinion. I think that was very unusual, but I think that when we're dealing with things that really pique our experience, I mean, all the facts, Miss, all of the facts, okay, well, that's one thing. But to talk about my experience as a human being on this earth, in this land called America, so that I can make things better, you have to talk about experiences, and sometimes those are feelings, and that's not always about the facts as we see them where we stand, but it's about us sharing our experiences and what that means for our nation.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you brought up President Obama because we've got the one and only Hunter Cross with us tonight, too. And, you know, he's our political analyst. He's our legal advisor. And he's really just holding down the fort here on Max and Friends. So I want to throw to you right now, Hunter Cross. What do you think about Obama getting involved with this whole Trayvon Martin case? Because Trayvon Martin, the whole story, because, you know, tonight we spoke to somebody and she was outraged that he even got involved. So what do you have to say about it, Hunter Cross?
I think it's important that the president get involved. The president can't sit on the sidelines when there's when something that everyone is talking about, when it's a matter of great national importance. And I don't think race relations can be ignored, especially by, you know, I think everyone acknowledges that this president, when history is written about him, it's going to be hard to ignore the fact that the first line in this description of this president will be that he is the first African-American president elected. And how could somebody who fills that role ignore something, a case that has taken on a political aspect to it? Hard to say that it hasn't. And he had to. I think he had to step out. And I think it was good that he did.
What do you have to say about it, Felonious?
I think it's great that he spoke. I think, unfortunately, there was really no way that he could have spoken and won. Across the board, there's still going to be those who complain that he spoke, period. There are people who are calling him the race baiter in chief, as if just by the mere mention of the word black, he was fanning the flames of racism. And then there are those who are going to say he didn't do enough, or he should have said something at the very beginning. I think as a president, it's important that you weigh your options, figure out what's going on. It's more important for him than for me or Hunter or Rolando or anyone. We can speak our mind and the consequences will be limited. So the president, he doesn't have that luxury. It's an international story no matter what he says. So I think he did it right. I think he waited until the verdict was over. He waited to see what the national response was, and then he added a personal touch to it. 35 years ago, that could have been me. I don't know how he could have done it better. I guess what I'm saying there.
I agree with
Rolando.
I agree with him.
Rolanda, what do you say about Felonious' statement?
Well, I agree with him, and I think that it was a very courageous thing for our president to do, and I thought it was a very necessary thing for our president to do, and it put things very much in perspective. I mean, I have been profiled. I have been followed around a store and asked to look in my bag. And then when they realized it was the lady on TV, everything changed.
Mm-hmm,
right. Oprah Winfrey has been profiled. I don't think that there's a black person in this nation who has not felt that difference. And
Polonius, have you been profiled?
Who?
Polonius, have you been profiled, Polonius?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'll say this clearly. I don't make any effort to change my appearance so that I'm not. There's a duality in being black where you think maybe if you put a suit on and shave cleanly and look a certain way, you won't be. And I learned a long time ago when I did wear suits every day and you know, $500 ties and expensive shoes that it didn't stop me from being treated a certain way. So now I just let my beard grow out and I wear my baseball cap however I want to. And, you know, so I walk in a store I've gone to the register with items and had the lady look at me as if I didn't know how much it cost. And I felt, you know, maybe it wasn't because I was black, maybe it was because of the way I was dressed. But definitely she made a predetermination about whether or not I was able to afford something. So, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. Hunter Cross, we were just discussing this too. You know, there's also white profiling. Hunter Cross was in a store looking at some electronics. And tell your experience, Hunter, what happened?
Well, I may not have been dressed in a way that particular salesman, you know, he kind of looked me up and down and thought, maybe you really can't afford what you were asking about. And I thought, who are you to judge me whether I can afford it? I came here to ask you questions. You've got merchandise to sell. You should tell me about it as if I'm someone who's able to purchase it. And it was really right. It was annoying. But I can certainly appreciate. You know what? It's interesting. We're talking about this profiling bit. You know, Chris Rock did a routine once that I like to quote because to me it kind of crystallizes this a little bit, gives us some perspective. Chris Rock said something like, you know, if a girl's going to dress up and she's going to wear high heels, she's going to wear that mini skirt, you know, she's certainly not a hooker because she dresses that way. But you know what? If she were dressed up as a police officer, you might think that she's a police officer because she's wearing the uniform. So I think we need to be cognizant, not necessarily that we change the way we dress, but I think we need to be aware that whether you're white, black, or whatever your ethnicity is, that sometimes how we present ourselves to the general public matters.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we should be shot because of it, but I think that we need to be aware of it. And if we're
if we want people to
treat us in a certain way, then we need to behave and dress in that in a way that people will recognize that we mean business. That we're not.
Well, there's another side to that, and it's that we haven't evolved yet as people to not judge based on trivial matters. For example, the way that Bernie Madoff dressed was extremely impressive. He was the biggest crook in the history of this nation. And the way that Russell Simmons dresses, no one's ever called him a crook, but he wears a baseball cap every day. And I say that to say, yes, that is definitely right. It's a social construct that the way that we dress and the way that we appear is how people are going to judge us. But clearly that's wrong. And even if everyone in the world agrees that that's how it's done, perhaps instead of trying to get us all conformed that that's how it's done, we need to rethink how we think. Perhaps we should take a second and say, hey, let me talk to this person. Get to know enough about them that I can make at least some type of informed judgment as opposed to, hey, because Rolanda's right. I've worn the baseball cap backwards since stopped and frisked in New York, and one of the officers literally looked at me and said, you're on PIX 11, and they stopped the entire procedure. So the way I was dressed apparently caught them, made them think that I was someone suspicious until they recognized my face. Point was, I was the same guy both times before they recognized me and after, so it wasn't me that was necessarily in the wrong. Perhaps it's the way that we think as a community, the way that we think as people, that I can determine who, how, and what you are by the way you look. And if we don't get past that, if we can't get past the clothes, we're definitely not going to get past the skin tone. So instead of saying, hey, everyone's dressed this way, let's say, hey, everyone think this way.
Let's not be naive enough to think that black folks don't profile black folks too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you walk with your pants sagging all the way down your booty, and you're talking loud and cussing with your hat turned on and walking a certain way. Yeah, I'd be scared to get in the elevator too. You know, so
that's legitimate.
I mean, there's proof. I mean, can't just say
but
that
you know,
it's profiling
Rolanda,
across racial lines.
I want to talk to you because, you know, as an actress too, Rolanda, you step into many roles, right? I mean, you've got one coming up now on Love That Girl where you just got that blonde hair and them big pearls on. Do you think walking out as that character, you would be treated differently?
Yeah. I'd be treated as an old lady in Hollywood, which is the worst profiling you could have. I mean, you know, I also have another character I'm playing that's going to be out in a week. I play this voracious cougar with my chest all out, too. But those are roles that we're playing. But yes, if I walked out like that, you better believe I'd be treated very differently than I would if I walked out my normal way.
Yeah, so, no, listen, yeah. the movie you're talking about, it has House Party movie. You're
house
Miss
party,
Victoria.
House Party.
You Miss Victoria.
No,
and I've seen your pictures.
Too many things.
And, you know, I'll tell you, but that character alone, Auntie Ro, if you were walking down the street, you know, the attention you would get from men would be one thing as if you were, you know, in a different character. So it's interesting to have you here tonight because you play characters and then you're yourself. So
let me tell you this. I put that character up on Facebook. I get a whole lot more hits than I do as regular old Ro.
So is that racial profiling?
If it is, it's good. It's good. No, I think it's just guys who like big boobs, really.
Well, you know what I love about this conversation? That we could just all get together as a bunch of adults and talk about a topic that's happening right now in this society, in this world. And you know what? We can talk to each other. We're exactly down the middle here. Two white people and two black people. We're just having a good old time talking about a serious matter. We all come from different backgrounds and we're all getting together and making this a topic that I think more people need to discuss and not make an issue out of it. And just, you know, when you know better, you do better. So when you start learning about other cultures and other people and you understand where they come from, then, you know, then we can have a nice dialogue like this. I love the show tonight. It's going with a great flow. Rolanda, I want to bring it to a whole nother level tonight because on your show today, Sundays with Rolanda, check out SundaysWithRolanda.com every Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Rolanda's got her show there. I know there's some things changing, but you had a former KKK wizard on your show, and he claimed that he's changed his ways. Did he really change him, Monty Rowe?
Hey, you know what, Johnny Lee Cleary, if you get an opportunity, look him up. Go listen to my show. But Johnny Lee swears that he's changed, and I believe him. He was a former imperial wizard of the KKK, and he changed because of a guy named Reverend Wade Watts, an older black Southern man, who Johnny Lee said that as a KKK leader, they tried to do everything, tried to burn his church down. They just did everything. And this man used his brain and fought back with the KKK, just killed him with kindness. And he said he learned his greatest lessons as he watched this old man topple the KKK. And you just have to listen to him. He's on YouTube and the rest, but he's got a fascinating story. And I love his story just because I believe that change can happen with open dialogue, and he's trying to encourage others. Now there are so many young people out there who are claiming they're racists and all of that.
Racist. You had a whole panel on Young and Racist. It sounds like it's like the Young and the Restless. It's like a new soap opera. What is this Young and Racist?
Well, you know, I don't know, but, you know, I did my first Young and Racist story back in the 90s with my talk show, and not a lot has changed, Max, unfortunately. You know, so much has changed in the world since the early 90s, but not much has changed when it comes to race relations in a lot of places, you know, but I think that that's just the continuum of our nation. That's what we're built here to do, I guess, is to,
you know,
constantly have this dialogue.
Exactly. And so I love when you know better, you do better. And that's really what the intentions of tonight are, is that know who people are before you judge them. And I think that was a great part of the story, too, with the whole Zimmerman trial. Know who these people are before you judge them. You know, at the end of the day, Auntie Ro and I spoke, there's still two families at the end of the day that are broken after this whole thing. So how can we judge two mothers that have to deal with this whole scenario? But I've got to tell you a very shocking story that happened with me years ago. I was with my dear friend Sharon. She came from London. Black girl, beautiful. And we were driving right through the Kakalakis, Auntie Ro.
Uh-oh.
And I got to tell you, it might have been the car that we were in because we were in a little Beetle. and Sharon was with myself when we were driving, and I went into the gas station, and someone came out of their truck and walked up to me, and I'm going to quote, this is not my saying, everyone, for the record, so it's a quote, and he was a white man, and he said to me, he looked at me up and down, I had Connecticut plates on the car, and he said, maybe you do that in Connecticut, but down here we don't tote niggers around. I looked at him, I said, Sharon, you better get in the car. And I was, this is the first time ever that I was in the presence of someone that had the balls to come up to me and tell me who I can and cannot hang out with. And I said, this is happening in America. And that was like not too long ago. I was shocked, Auntie Ro.
Yeah, but you have a lot of people saying, you know what, that's the way my people are, but I'm determined not to be that way anymore. I mean, we even saw poor Paula Deen. Mm-hmm. Who should have just come out honestly and said, you know, I come from a culture and that's the way people talk. And
Hunter,
I don't
want to
talk that way. Or what, you know, whatever. But I just think that, you know, those are the realities of the world we live in. Mm-hmm. I have friends, and I've said this openly, and I've spoken with them. I have friends who are white from the South who have openly told me that their parents would roll over in their graves if they knew they were sitting at my kitchen table or that we were as close to friends as we are. And they have, in tears, told me that that is the world they come from, and they have determined they don't want to live that world anymore. So I think there is a change. There's a turning around. Our children are far more culturally divided and diverse than we are, or were. And
I remember,
gosh, 15% of the nation, the couples are interracial now. So things are changing. So, you know, with change also comes hope.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Hunter?
I remember as a kid, we used to have people who'd stay at our house who came from maybe the Midwest or some more rural areas in the country, and they would come to stay with us, and they would participate in Jewish youth group organizations. And these kids would tell us that when they took their shoes off in gym class, the kids would ask them where their wings were because their parents told them that Jews had horns on their head and wings on their feet. There were people there. Yes, and we're talking about in the 70s. There were people in this country that thought Jews had horns on their head and wings on their feet because they didn't know any. And she was the first Jew they ever had, and they wanted to know where her wings were. And I think that, you know, I grew up in a place in Pennsylvania where there weren't many black people that went to the school where I was, because we had neighborhood schools. And so I didn't know any black people when I was a kid growing up. So I really didn't have any perspective about what black people were like. And then when I went to college, it was a whole different world for me, meeting people of all different ethnicities and from people from all over the world. And I think that to a large extent, you're absolutely right, Ro, that people like perhaps Paula Deen, who come from parts of this country where they have no experience knowing people of other ethnicities. And I think that in the gay community, we've seen a big change, huge change in this country in attitudes towards gays, primarily, I think, because people are exposed to gay people more in the media, and people are more open about who they are, so they have friends who are gay, they know gay people, they know family members. So I think that as we get more exposed to people from other walks of life, we can become more tolerant of them.
You know, hold that thought, everyone, because I want to bring up something that happened that Felonious just told me about in Milwaukee. Felonious, why don't you tell us, speaking of gay, what's going on in Milwaukee?
It may be in Virginia. I know that Ken Cuccinelli has decided that he needs to outlaw oral sex. And in my personal opinion, and again, I don't know that this is intentional because I'm sure he won't word it this way, but the way it comes across is a very thinly veiled attempt to outlaw homosexuality. I can't imagine that he is really intent on going into heterosexually married Christian homes and saying, this is what you can and can't do sexually. So it just gives off the appearance that I'm trying to outlaw gay sex. And the problem with that, and I think Hunter made a really good point, which goes back to Rose's guest earlier, The attitudes toward homosexuality have changed in this country, and there are a lot of people who have been able to think for a second and say, wait a minute, maybe I was wrong, because we all know that the F word was thrown around very casually prior to maybe 10 years ago. Maybe 10 years ago is when people started to go, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't say that word, it's hurtful. And that's great. The problem is, if that can happen, Why can't someone accept that a former KKK member could have changed his ways? And the former Supreme Court Justice Rehnquist made the statement that to deny a human, to deny a man the capacity to change is to deny him his humanity. It's the exact same thing. We have the capacity to change. It bothers me sometimes when you present factual information and the logical argument, the person looks you directly in your face and says, maybe, but I'm going to keep doing this. That's the problem. It's not that none of this makes sense. Hating anyone for any reason other than they're a piece of crap human makes no sense.
You can
basically make it anything you want to. It's just stupid. And until we start looking at bigots as being stupid and not even deserving of a platform or time, hey, Rush Limbaugh, then we'll continue to have that problem. They shouldn't have a microphone is basically it.
Hold that thought, because while we got microphones, we got to let everybody know what they're listening to. Hit it, Ronan. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends, and you are tuning in at the right time. If you're just joining us, then we've got Rolanda Watts, Felonious Monk, and Hunter Cross here tonight, and we're having a good old adult conversation of what this world needs to talk about, and that's a little less judgment, a little more conversation. Well, if you all want some conversation, then you need to tune in and call us or tweet us at Max Tucci. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, Rolanda, where can they find you?
Well, let's see. You can find me if you want to listen to the show. Today's show is really great. If you get a chance, go to the archives. Go to www.sundayswithrolanda.com. That's R-O-L-O-N-D-A. And you can also hit me up on Facebook at Rolanda Fan Page, and on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and all the rest of them at Rolanda Watts.
And Felonious, where can we find you?
You will be able to, if you're in Milwaukee right now, you can find me on Touch Vision TV, and we will be launching nationally in the coming months. We'll be in Chicago soon. We'll be everywhere. There'll be an app. It'll be on the internet. It'll be on your television screen. It'll be everywhere. You get to see my big, ugly face and this beautiful beard every day, 5 days a week. You can also find me at Felonious, that's with an F, not the TH, underscore Monk, M-U-N-K, on Twitter. And on Facebook and on Instagram and on whatever you Google it, and stop at me on YouTube. But yeah, definitely reach out to me and tell me you hate me, you love me, I don't care. Just say hi.
That's what I say. Call me what you want as long as you call me. And Hunter Cross, you can find on Twitter at Hunter X Cross on Twitter. And we thank you all for listening. And we're going to just talk about some more stuff right now, cooking up in the kitchen here on Max and Friends, even though we're not in the kitchen. I love that right now we're in Miami. Some people are in Chicago. Some people are in L.A. And we've got listeners all over the world tuning in. So thank you all. I got to tell you that. I thank you all. You know, I've got to read this, Rolanda, and I'm going to throw it to you first, because I've got a statement from Robert Zimmerman Jr. We're going to go back there for a minute. And, you know, I've asked him to be on this show. He's been on. We had a great interview. Do check that show out, that archive there. And he's really been the spokesperson for the whole Zimmerman family. And when I reached out to him, you know, he wanted to come on the show, and he wrote this to me, and he said, share this. So here we go. He said, thank you for your inquiry. At this time, the best thing for our family to do is to recover and to let tensions settle. I will have to decline any additional interviews. I appreciate you reaching out and encourage you to stay in touch. There will be a time when speaking out may be appropriate, and I welcome any additional inquiry at that time. Robert Zimmerman Jr. Rolanda, what do you have to say to that statement?
I think he had been throwing enough gas in the fire. It was time for him to go on back and take care of his family.
Mm-hmm. Felonious, what do you say about that?
Yeah, I wish that he had maybe made that statement months ago. I can say that if we're going to call the president race baiter in chief, we can definitely see that some of the things that Mr. Zimmerman's brother has said definitely pour gasoline on an already burning flame. So I can appreciate and respect that he finally made the decision to not make statements like now he's going to fear vigilante attack. That just was as ridiculous a statement as I could imagine after what definitely felt like to everyone else what his brother did. It was amazing that he could open his mouth and say that at that point. So I'm glad that
Absolutely. And, you know, Hunter Cross, you've interviewed Robert Zimmerman Jr. with me. So what do you say about his statement?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. I'm listening to the perspective that Felonious's perspective and Rose's perspective about how he threw gasoline on the fire. But I don't see it that way. I think that he added to the dialogue, and we've talked about this before, about how the facts of this case, we only know the facts that, or at least we think we know. We know the we have the version of the facts, Zimmerman's version of the facts. We don't have the Trayvon Martin's version of the facts because Trayvon is dead. So we've kind of, the media and many pundits have kind of like filled in the blanks for us about what really went on. And we'll never know what went on. So I think it's interesting that that there's this perspective that Robert Zimmerman's comments in support of his brother's point of view are somehow taboo, and yet the media and the rest of us are free to say whatever we want about what Trayvon thought or what Trayvon would have done. I heard the other day a guy in a bar said, how could a skinny little kid like that have knocked down a big guy like that? There's no way he would have picked a fight with that guy. And I thought, isn't that fascinating that they know what Trayvon would have thought or what Trayvon would have done? How would anyone?
And his appearance. And his appearance.
None of us know. And unfortunately, because if we know what went on, at least as far as Trayvon's death, we know that much happened. But we don't really know what was going on in Trayvon's mind, and we never will. But we've made it all up. We've made it up to the point where we're convinced that there's no way he would have done one thing or another. How do we know what Trayvon would have done?
Rolanda, what do you have to say to that?
I know Zimmerman got out of that truck, and he was supposed to stay put, and he kept going. And that, to me, says, and it's still, I know everything is over, and it's all said and done. But still, in my mind, he was the aggressor. And so, you know, I can only imagine what a kid would have been done being followed in the rain with a guy with a gun.
Felonious.
I think that to a certain degree, I'm going to agree with part of what Hunter said. I think that it is important that that be added to the dialogue. And I think that for a second, if any of us, and it's difficult for me because, you know, I'm a human and I have emotions, but if for a second I can put my emotions to the side and say, hey, this is legitimately how some people feel, whether it's reasonable to feel that way or not, what they really felt was his brother was in danger. Now, I can say, you know, I can scream bullcrap to the top of my lungs and say there's no way possible that he was afraid, the kid was this size, the kid was that size. I can also very easily say if I was a 17-year-old kid and someone was following me, I would have been afraid too. And we can't ignore that there's a fight-or-flight reflex in every human being. Guess what? Flight isn't everyone's reflex. So for the people who are saying, why didn't you just go home? When cornered, you don't know what you will do unless you've been cornered. Some people will run. Other people will fight. Both of those are normal human behaviors. And if Trayvon did punch him first, which is just as plausible as he didn't, so what? The fact remains, again, like Rolanda said, he got out of the truck. But let's not ignore what Hunter said. That is a part of the dialogue. And before I say that's ridiculous, I do have to acknowledge that that's how he feels. Now the conversation has to go to, why did you feel that way? And there was a really good article I read earlier today about trope, meaning that talking about black people as individuals. When you finally recognize them, when they're close enough to you that you go, oh, I know that guy, that's Felonious Monk, I've seen him on TV, which is what happened with the cops. But prior to them recognizing me, I was the young black male in a baseball cap at 2 o'clock in the morning walking on 125th Street. And how do we get from the individual or from the trope, from the group view to the individual? How do we not profile? How do we not initially see people as the group? And I don't know how you do that because...
Rolanda, with your experience, how do we do that?
You know, I don't know. I think a lot of it is becoming aware. I mean, I think this conversation has opened up some very honest dialogue. I know I was sitting with some friends the other night, and we were saying, don't we profile? I mean, haven't you ever profiled? I might have unfairly profiled somebody myself, too. But it's about being aware that that happens and what the outcome of that. You know, I heard this wonderful ancient Hindi word once called ginshai, and it means never treat another person in a manner that would make them feel small, including yourself. And I think it's just learning more about humanity and how we treat each other. And a lot of that is just becoming aware of our own frailties. The Tolerance Museum here, when you go into it, has two doors. One says you can enter this door if you're prejudiced. You enter the other door if you're not. Everybody tries to enter that door that says I'm not prejudiced. And that door is a dummy door. It's just locked. because everybody has a prejudice in them. And it's about being aware of that and recognizing when that starts in broaching on the freedoms, the rights, and the dignity of somebody else. And that's what we have to keep in mind.
Well, you know what I want to keep in mind is a name, and speaking about dignity, is the loss of another child. And it happened November 23rd, just in 2012, so we're talking about a couple months ago, really. And the name, Auntie Ro, you know we've spoken about this, and this was really a topic of tonight's show, but I'm glad it went in the direction that it did tonight's show, because it opened up doors to communication, and that's what we need to do as humanity. But Jordan Davis is the name, everyone. And in case you don't know, Jordan Davis was 17 years old of Jacksonville, Florida. He was gunned down in a parking lot. Davis and his friends were parked at a gas station. The music was loud, and the kids were just being kids, according to AllVoices.com. Davis was in the back seat when Michael Dunn, a 45-year-old white man, demanded they turn down the music. When the kids did not comply, Dunn pulled out his concealed gun and shot in the car 8 times, killing Jordan Davis, who was 17 years old and a black child. He was a teenager. Ro, what's going on in this country? And why isn't this story talked about more? As media, we take a lot of responsibility reporting stories. Why aren't we reporting this one? This was a clear murder.
Yeah, well, I think, here you go again. There's that stand your ground law, because Dunn is claiming that he thought the kids had a gun.
Gun was found, for the record.
And no gun was found, and the guy went back to his hotel room and had a pizza. You know, how far is too far? And that's what we're going to have to ask with this law and, you know, just with what people think they can get away with. I mean, what's wrong with a kid playing his music? The thing that this thing also reeks of is just fear in every parent. I mean, we've already got a case where our kids can't go to the store and get a snack. Now our kids can't go and play music. And 8 times shooting in the car, that's a lot of times, and then turn around and go home and eat a pizza. I mean, it's not open season on kids. You can't go around shooting kids like they're squirrels and get away with it. And it also reeks of is this part of the status quo that you can just go around blowing away kids? That's a bit dramatic. But then again, there shouldn't be two cases like this that we're talking about within 1 year span. That's just symbolic of the many cases that we don't even hear about.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're living in fear, then I always say you got to live in love instead of fear. And fear is just, to me, is false evidence appearing real. So we got to start getting, you know, this evidence of all this nonsense happening and putting it where its place is. And I want to talk about its place.
What's kind of scary, Max, is that it's not false evidence all the time. Sometimes it's pure and clear evidence that it's open season. And that's why I think we're in such an uproar across the nation.
Where's the outrage about all these assholes with guns? Why?
Yeah.
Where is the conversation about these damn guns in the hands of all these assholes? I don't understand why. You know, I get the whole race issue in all these cases. I get it completely. But what's missing is the NRA is somehow hiding under their covers. And they're just praying that no one mentions it. But that, to me, is the pink elephant in the room. All these assholes with guns killing people.
Well, see, that's part of the reason that the discussion goes back to the what I call unreasonable, irrational fear of the young black kids. It's become just as much a national part of the discussion, because that does get the NRA off the hook. Because if we can admit that there's a reasonable suspicion that, yeah, you know what, the media shows these young black guys this way, and hip-hop shows young black guys this way, and 500 kids were murdered in Chicago, and 52% of the murders are committed by young black guys, so it's reasonable to fear young black guys, then we get the conversation away from people overreacting to things that they don't understand and shooting. And you're right. Why? How is it easy enough for a guy to get a gun that may overreact in that situation? That is an overreaction, no matter how you slice it. I play my music because I like my music loud. I don't understand why that's offensive to you. If that is offensive to you, let's have a discussion about why it's offensive to you, as opposed to you going, hey, he's playing his music loud, he's a fucking gangbanger, let me shoot him. And that's what we're not talking about. That conversation isn't even being broached. There's this huge disconnect between what someone else believes they know when they hear me playing my music loud and what I think when I hear my music being played loud. When I hear NWA being played loud, I'm thinking it's 1988. I was a sophomore, junior in high school, listening to my music, having a good time. I didn't have bills to pay. I played basketball. I could still dunk then. You know, that's what I'm feeling. I'm not feeling any animosity. I want to go out and kill anyone and turn a trash can over and throw it through someone's window. But I get now that there are people, when they hear me playing NWA, they're thinking to themselves, uh-oh, big beard, he's wearing a T-shirt, he's got on sneakers, and his shorts may be a little baggier than I think they should be. Maybe he's a gangbanger, and he's in Chicago, he's going to kill me. And there's a big disconnect between what's going on in my mind, what's going on in that guy's mind, and I don't have a gun. And that's terrifying as crap to me. I don't know how.
So, Rolanda, how do we reconnect?
You know, I don't know the answer. I always believe that the answer starts with communication. Yeah. And that's what it is. I mean, there's so much to talk about. And you know, Thelonious, you bring it up. In Chicago in one day, 23 people shot, 3 or 4 of them dead. I mean, what is that about? And as we are talking about the Trayvons of the world and the Jordans of the world, why don't we talk about the black-on-black crime? Is that not a crime as much as white-on-black crime? Right. So, yeah, and then the whole gun control issue. But then again, people shoot people. Guns don't shoot people. People shoot people. So what is that about? And that's where the dialogue begins. Are we so frustrated we're killing each other? Is it race relations, or is it just people just frustrated with the world right now? Well, I don't know what the answer is.
There's no question.
But it sure isn't not. The answer certainly isn't turning our head, looking the other way, and acting like it didn't happen.
Hunter?
There's no question that people kill people, but people use guns to kill people. And if that guy at that gas station who was angry about the music had a pea shooter instead of a gun, that kid wouldn't be dead. He'd have some dried peas in his hair. You know, that's the difference. There's no reason that a guy like that should be allowed to carry a gun and be able to react angrily about something that should just cause a minor scuffle. Instead, there's somebody dead.
Hunter, you know, I've got to ask you a question, because a lot of people, and I'm glad we're talking about this right now, because we've got a couple more minutes and we've got to wrap this up. But what is the stand your ground law? Be the legal advisor here and let us know.
Well, the stand your ground law in Florida, and I can't speak to what it is in other states, but primarily what it means is that you do not, if you fear for your life in a circumstance, you do not have to retreat. You do not have to retreat from the circumstance. You can stay there and you can shoot to protect yourself. And if someone dies, it's kind of an expansion of a self-defense. You don't have to necessarily be actually in fear for your life. You have to, in other words, the facts don't have to demonstrate that you would have been actually in fear, that the guy actually had to have a gun or not, but you have to believe that you were in fear for your life. And that's why the law is interpreted so broadly, because you never really know what's in someone's head.
Well, if you all don't like that law and you want to repeal it, go to Stand Your Ground Law and go to change.org. So repeal Stand Your Ground Law, go to change.org. We are the change. You remember Michael Jackson said, I believe I'm starting with the man in the mirror? Well, y'all got to start with the man in the mirror and look at yourself and think about the change that you want to be. What did Gandhi say, Rolanda? If you want to, you be the change that you want to see.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
And that just starts with a little more patience and a lot more tolerance and a lot more awareness of what we contribute to situations as well.
You know, and really here, the underlining factor is, at the end of the day, what we need to do is we have a voice, everyone. And that's why I'm glad we all got here together tonight. Rolanda Watts, Thelonious Monk, Hunter Cross. We are all here tonight discussing things, and we're just planting a seed of change. And what we need to change, people, are the gun laws. We need to change our mind on racism. We need to start learning more cultures. You know, when you go to Europe, there's really an understanding of diversity, because, you know, Europe is, even though the United States is such a wonderful country, Europe has so much history and lineage to it. America is still a new country, and it's learning. It's a mother country. We need to teach our people more, right? I believe the children are the future. So like Whitney Houston saying, we need to teach them well so they can lead the way. We're not teaching our children well enough to lead the way. And I think that's where we need to stand. So on that note of encouragement, Rolanda, give us a sentence that you want, some words of wisdom to wrap up this show. And then we're going to have Hunter and Felonius give us some too. So Rolanda, what are your words for wisdom for the week?
Well, gosh, the one that keeps resonating in my brain is that, you know, going back to our Auntie Maya, Max, but just nothing human can be alien to me. And that we're all in this together as humanity, and that there isn't an experience that I have had that another human being hasn't had, and that alone should give us the right ground to start on.
All right. Well, an amen to that. And Felonius, what do you have to say? Some words of wisdom from Chicago tonight.
I always say in relationships, and I'm usually talking about male and female relationships, I always say be what you're trying to attract. As opposed to having a list of things that you want in a person, have a list of things that you want to be, and you'll eventually attract that. And I think if we took that outside of the male-female dynamic and put that with everyone else, be what you are trying to attract, the type of situations that you want to be in. You know, in the Jordan Davis case, guess what? I might not want to hear your music played loud either. I also have the ability to say, screw it, it's not that important, because it really freaking isn't. She was in a store, she's going to be out in 2 minutes. I don't care how loud the music is, I'm going to be away from the situation. I'll just drop off. I didn't have to say anything. And if the guy hadn't said anything,
and it was none of his business. Occur.
And it was none of your business. So there's that sense of entitlement as human beings that we have. We can tell other people how to behave. You know what? Screw that. Be what you're trying to attract. If you don't want none, don't start none. And
that's
sometimes
right.
It's okay to just walk away, man. It wasn't that serious, and it turned into a tragedy. And now we're talking about stand your ground laws again, and reasonable fear and self-defense, and it's terrifying. I don't want to be in that situation. I hate that there's even a possibility this guy could even remotely get off on a self-defense defense. So, you know, be what you're trying to attract. You want a peaceful life. You want a good life. Be a good person. Be a peaceful person. Put your gun down, because guess what? I don't have a gun. I rarely have any problem. It's mostly because I know what to say out of my mouth. Learn to shut up sometimes.
That's the truth. And Hunter, what do you have to say to get some words of wisdom into this whole chaos that we're living in?
I think you need to keep an open mind. I think that what stops us from growing as people is that we latch on to certain ideas and we don't allow ourselves to be convinced otherwise. I think that we need to keep our minds open. So even if we think we understand something, we have to be able to listen to what someone else has to say and think, maybe I really need to rethink my position on this. Maybe I really need to learn something different or learn from a different point of view. I think if we keep our minds open that we'll learn more, and we'll have a little more insight into what other people think and why.
Well, this has just been a joy to talk about this tonight with everyone here, and I'm just such a good flow and a wave where we can send out this seed, plant it into the earth, and let the tree grow. Y'all got to water it with love, and what I'm going to tell you all is to just be still and love one another. That's it. It's that simple. Because when you love someone, you can't hate them. And that's what this world needs now, is just a little bit more love. And I know it sounds cheesy and cliche, but you know what? As I'm looking out right now, Rolanda knows this view too of downtown Miami. I'm thinking what a pleasant, beautiful night it is tonight. And in one instant, how hell can break loose. Let's get a little more heaven on this earth, people. Thank you for tuning in to Max and Friends tonight. I got to give a special thanks to Rolanda Watts, to Hunter Cross, and of course, Felonious Monk for joining us here tonight on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. This week, everyone, take life to the max. Good night.
Max and Friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back.